Welcome to another powerful word from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Are you ready for the word? All right. Open your Bibles to the book of Jonah. If you want to know where Jonah is and have trouble finding that in your Bible, then it's right beside Obadiah. Okay? There you go. Did that help? Yeah. Most of you probably have some digital reference that you can just click on, or you can watch the screen behind me or the lower thirds, and you can catch up with us. Today, we're going to be talking about the message, the mission, and the ministry. Hey, while I'm at it, how about turning to someone and telling them, what was your first job, okay? Tell somebody there in your home, what was your very first job, okay? Do you remember your very first job? What was your very first job you had? I mean, that paid money. Okay, one more thing. You know that was your first job. My first job, I picked up inner tubes, though that you used to swim in a lake for 50 cents an hour when I was just a little kid. And then I started at 16 working at Texarkana Mack Truck Sales as a mechanics helper working on diesel engines and doing more sweeping of the floor than anything else, and running parts and those kinds of things. Okay, now that you did your first job, what was your best job you've ever had? Turn and tell somebody. You got to tell somebody. Tell somebody that doesn't know, what was the best job you ever had? And if your boss is sitting beside you, say, the one I got now. What was your best job? Okay, come on. Turn around and talk to somebody behind you or in front of you. Come on, find out here. It's okay to talk in church. What was the best job you ever had? My best job is I had a job of testing NATO security. I got to break into buildings for 13 months. And that was awesome. Break into facilities and break into buildings. It was the best. Oh, I could have done that. I would love to go back and do that now. I had a get out of jail free card, by the way. But all right. Jobs are often assigned. Sometimes we don't get to choose what jobs we get. Sometimes jobs come as a necessity. And sometimes when we have a job, we even wonder how we got it. How in the world did I get this job? Sometimes I wake up and wonder, how in the world did I get this job? This is a pretty good gig, am I old enough to do this? You ever feel that way? I feel that way. Should they really be trusting me? Sometimes the boss comes in and gives you a job that you don't want to do. You ever have that happen? Sometimes the boss comes in and you're working and you if things are going along okay. You're eating, you're paying bills, everything's happening okay. And the boss gives you a job that you really don't want to do. But you kind of size it up. Do I want to keep eating? Do I want to keep paying bills? Can I say no? How do I say no? And then occasionally you have these people that don't say anything. They just don't do it because they didn't want to. Have you ever met somebody that didn't obey the boss? You ever worked with somebody that did not obey the boss and they didn't care? And they just were defiant. They had some, oppositional defiance disorder. And were upfront about it and just went the other. If just do something else. Well, that person has a bad attitude. That person has a bad habit. That person doesn't care about, you know, the boss or his job or anything, you know. And that's the person we're going to read about. His name is Jonah. Okay? And so I encourage you to read the whole book of Jonah, because you're not going to get, in the few verses that we refer to today, you're not going to get the whole picture of Jonah. I'm going to elaborate on the whole story somewhat, but I chose a story in the Bible that I felt as though that most people, most Christians or Jews, or most people who are familiar with the Bible would generally know about Jonah and him being swallowed up by that big fish. And then the fish spitting him out on dry ground. So we're not going to read much, but I will refer to the story. Please go back later and refresh yourself, because you need to confirm the things that a preacher preaches by going back and reading the stories. It's very important. It's important for you to know the context and to have your own personal confirmations so that you can buy into personally and personally embrace the truths that we're going to share today. So with the presumption that you're going to go and read the whole story, let me cover some of the bases then. We'll begin reading in the New King James Version in Jonah chapter 1 in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord... See, the word Lord in the Bible is all capitals, L-O-R-D. It's like it's screaming, Lord! That's what it's doing. Lord, this is Jehovah. This is Almighty God. That's what it's trying to say. Now, the word of the Lord. Do you ever have someone text you and they do all capitals and you're feeling like you're being screamed at? Yeah, the emphasis here is that they're not just screaming, they're just identifying that this is the boss. This is, you know, God Almighty. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Oh, Nineveh evidently was a very wicked city. But Jonah, instead of doing what the boss said, Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Why Tarshish? Was that an evil city? No. What he was trying to do is to get out of Israel, because Jehovah was considered to be the God of Israel. And many people imagined that God lived in Israel and he was the God of Israel. And if you got outside of Israel, then he no longer was God out there. And his voice did not reach any farther. So what Jonah was trying to do is to get away from the presence of God by getting out of Israel. Okay? That's why it says that he decided he would go from Tarshish, from the presence of God. You can't get away from God. God, you know, that is such a fallacy. You know, some people try to hide from God today. They try to hide from the boss. They imagine that God is not going to be where they go. Do you know God is with you everywhere you go, no matter what situation you put yourself in or find yourself in? You are not going to escape the presence of God. So Jonah here, he went, he got up, and he fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. That was his hope. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now we know that Jonah went down and went asleep in the ship. You may know the story. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. And Nineveh was a wicked, wicked city, a city of about 600,000 people at that time. We extrapolate that from the scriptures that say there was 120,000 who could not tell their left hand from their right hand. We most recognize that as children, and if we therefore calculated in a reasonable component of math, we would find that it was at least a 600,000 person city. And it was very, very wicked. It was also very large in that we understand it was 90 miles around the circumference of that city. A 3 days journey, Jonah will describe the city of being. Now, Nineveh today has been found, but it was in waste for over 400 years and could not even be found. It ultimately, Jonah is not the end of the story for Nineveh. They returned to their wickedness after their repentance, and God ended up judging them and destroying the city. You can read the prophecies in Nahum and in Zechariah. Isaiah speaks of Nineveh, and just because you get right with God doesn't mean that you can go back to your old ways again. There is a necessity not only to get right with God, but there's also a necessity to stay right with God. But that's another story. Nineveh served pagan gods. It was a Gentile city, large city, and Jonah didn't like them. God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah, what happened? He allowed his personal feelings to cloud the call of God on his life. Do you know this happens more often than you can imagine? When God encourages someone to witness to another person or to share something or to give something, sometimes people can allow their personal feelings to get into the way of the call of God. You see, the Bible says, pray for your enemies. How many of us literally take the time that Jesus has commanded us to take to pray for those who persecute us, to pray for those and bless those who spitefully use us and speak evil things about us? How many of us lift up our kings and our rulers? We pray for the president if we voted for them. If we didn't vote for them, we kind of hold off for 4 years to pray for the president. See, these are the things that Jonah also felt. Jonah was in disagreement with God's choice. Jonah was in disagreement with the call of God on his life. And so he allowed his personal feelings. Jonah had his own opinion about Nineveh. Jonah had his own opinion about Gentiles. Jonah had his own opinion about wicked people. And let me just go ahead and tell you, Jonah was a mentally disturbed individual. Let me tell you about Jonah. Biblical records, this is not my opinion. Biblical records show that Jonah was emotionally unstable. He was self-absorbed. He was antisocial. He was unforgiving. He was unthankful. He was an ingrate. He had serious control issues. He had a deeply seated superiority complex. He was prone to fits of anger, often to the point of acting out his rage with threats of harm to himself or desires and hopes that others would be harmed. He harbored resentment towards those with whom he did not agree, even towards God, because he did not agree with God, who, by the way, was his boss. He was the one that was told to go and do something and said no. He didn't really say no. He just didn't do it. And he pitched a fit. Well, why would God choose to use someone like that? Hello, let's get real. Why would God choose to use an antisocial, unforgiving ingrate who's self-absorbed, unstable, with control issues and a superiority complex? Why would God choose to use someone who had such fits of rage that he would threaten harm, he would threaten to kill himself if you didn't shut up? Why would God use somebody like that? Perhaps all the perfect people were busy. You getting a good picture of yourself right now? Maybe Jonah wasn't the first person that God asked to do this. No doubt God loved the people of Nineveh, and God wanted somebody to help them. You see, God chooses who he uses. God gets to choose who God wants to use. We can only recognize them as being in the position that God allows them to be in. Romans chapter 13. There is no authority but that which is allowed by God. Obey your bosses. Obey your parents. You know, someone who is critical of God's choice to use Jonah is the very same thing as Jonah being critical of God's choice to forgive Ninevites. I don't like what God wants to do. I don't like God what God wants me to do. You know, we often allow our personal feelings to cover our opinions concerning what we believe God should and should not do, should and should not allow. Yet God is so gracious. God is loving and God is kind. And you know, he is God of the whole world, not just God of our world. He is the God of your prayer closet, but he's also God when you come out of that closet. And when you go to the workplace and to the classroom and on vacation, he is God everywhere we go, as Jonah found out. If you're familiar with the story, you will remember the storm that threatened to sink the ship that Jonah was on, and how the sailors were forced to throw Jonah overboard. Do you know, we're going to talk about Jonah. He will be the subject of our next Sunday circles. And we're going to cover some things on our Sunday circles on the first Sunday of next month that we aren't covering today concerning Jonah. But let me tell you one of the things I think is a little sad and a little funny, and that is Jonah knew he was the trouble on the ship, and Jonah told them, "I am your trouble." And Jonah said, you know, "If you throw me overboard, then the storm will stop." Why in the world didn't Jonah jump overboard? He could have helped those people. He made them live through the trauma of having to throw somebody off the ship so that the ship would be okay. Don't make people throw you overboard so the ship would be okay. Either get right with God on the ship or get off the ship yourself. Never mind. We'll move on. Jonah, if we're not watchful, we could look at Jonah and imagine that this fish and this storm was all punishment. But it wasn't. It was salvation. You see, what you're going through may not be punishment for your past, but rather positioning for your future. That's what we need to realize is whenever we are in a place where God may not be pleased with where we are or may not be pleased with how we have been, even if it is a nation or a business, a company, an endeavor, an individual, a family, if we find ourselves in a place where God is not pleased with us, the things that we go through from the hand of God may not be punishment for our past, but rather positioning for our future. God is gracious, who will turn everything that we give Him into something that benefits His will. He will work all things together for good to those who love Him and to those who are called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. We have to trust in the fact. And looking at Jonah, that fish was not a curse. That fish was a blessing. That fish was not punishment. That fish was salvation. And there's every reason to imagine that the 3 days that Jonah spent in that fish was better than an Uber. Because it's reasonable to realize that fish took him 3 days closer to his destiny and spit him up on dry ground. He didn't even have to swim home. It was a blessing, not a curse. Sometimes what looks like a curse can actually be a blessing from Almighty God. What seems like a surprise to us is often a plan to God. And you will never catch God unprepared for what you are going to do. God already knows the end from the beginning. He knows what you are going to do, and He is already prepared. But it's so much better when we just simply say yes. Well, that is the message for today. We've had the message, we've had the mission. Let me tell you about the ministry. Do you know, we could reach around the world. We could see converts to Jesus Christ every day in country after country. We could feed the hungry. We could provide what Jesus told us to provide, water, clothing, visitation, encouragement to people all over the world. But if we as a church, if I as a pastor do not show the same care, consideration, and concern for you, then I would be missing and we would be missing our primary call. Tell me, what do you need today? It's wonderful we're going to help people, and we should. We should be making a difference around the world. It's God's world. We're saying yes to what God has called us to do. But while we are doing that, we need to make sure that you are okay. You see, there are only two ways that you can go to heaven. Only two. Number one, you can be perfect. But I have a feeling you've already missed that one. Number two is you can be perfected. You can either be perfect or you can be perfected. And the perfection I'm talking about comes through a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. More than me just telling stories about the Bible and trying to make you a better person. More than me just trying to get you to stop arguing or being critical. Or more than me trying to get you to feed the hungry and to care about the poor. I need to make sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The ministry is first to you at home? Are you sure that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? I don't want to be the pastor who goes to heaven and not find every one of my congregation members right there. Have you made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? The ministry to you is the most important thing. How are you doing? Are you hurting? Are you afraid? Are you lonely? You know, we need to show our care. We come to church for two basic reasons. We talked about it two Wednesday nights ago. We come to church, number one, to minister to God, because the collective body of Christ should worship God together. We come to church to minister to God, and we come to church to minister to one another. The Bible says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but gather more often as you see the day approaching," the last days, "so that you may encourage one another." Wow. Are we encouraging you? More than just making you, you know, a better person, have you been born again? If you would bow your heads right now where you sit and consider, are you sure that you are saved? Have you personally asked Jesus into your heart? It does not come through church membership. It does not come through water baptism. It does not come through church confirmation. What comes to us from God is a gift, and it comes to us because we invite Jesus personally into our lives. Would you pray with me? Those of you at home, those of you here on campus, would you pray with me one more time? Would you focus on God? Would you consider your soul? That man who went to the political rally yesterday, he had no idea that sitting there in that seat, that a bullet was about to take his life. It happened in an instant. It happened in a moment. We cannot afford to put off so great a need as the salvation of our souls. Pray with me right now. Make sure that you personally invite Jesus into your life. Just simply pray with me. God, I know that I need salvation. I believe that your Son Jesus came and gave his life on the cross of Calvary for my sin. Because I believe, I now ask you to forgive me of my sins, to accept me as your child. Lord, make me a new creation in Christ. Save my soul. I give you my life. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Teach me. Show me what I need to do. Walk with me. Talk with me. And take me to heaven when it comes my turn and my time to die. I give you my life. Use me as you will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for another exciting message from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to all of our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.